Doesn't matter what your last name is, where you grew up, what kind of car you drive or don't drive. He's looking for anyone who's willing to be a vessel for him. Thank you for that. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for speaking tonight. Church, as a precursor to the kickoff of fundraising for the mission trip, for the missionary we just heard from, I would just ask this week between now and Sunday that you would talk to the Lord about what you could do financially to support the work that God is wanting to do in Germany through a missionary from Apostolic Faith Church. And that you would come Sunday ready to support, and if not Sunday, at least a commitment to support. I know Brielle is going to work in every hour that she can in order to fund her own way, to support herself. But her means are only going to get her so far, and that won't be far enough. And so I just ask that you would pray about what and ask God for some direction. Amen. Our next young lady, our next minister, Sister Laura Moran, she too was already ministering here from the platform, as she ministers often in music, part of the music ministry, part of the choir, chorale. She also leads the team that is the song screen team up in the balcony, working with the video team next to her. And she went to Japan on a Apostolic Youth Corps trip a number of years ago, and I saw a very profound change as she came back from that experience. And I think, as I remember, she was actually getting ready to try and go back again just about the time that COVID unraveled the world and stopped everything. And so tonight I would like to invite Sister Lauren Moran to this pulpit in order to minister the Word of God here.
Praise the Lord, church. Thank you, Pastor, for this incredible, incredible honor. I do not take this lightly. Have any of you ever felt uncomfortable? Well, great. But I'm not talking about the kind of uncomfortable that you feel when you're pulled over for speeding. But uncomfortable because you feel God prompting you to do something, or you feel the Holy Ghost leading you to say something to someone you don't know. I know I've felt that. Even here tonight, God's stretching me to do things I've never done before. There are many stories of people in the Bible who are called by God to do something uncomfortable. Noah was told to build an ark when no rain was present. Abraham was told to sacrifice his son when that was the son of promise. Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers, but what was meant for evil, God used for good. Noah, Abraham, and Joseph found discomfort in the will of God, and all of these uncomfortable situations are just found in Genesis. There's so much more in the Bible. We are put through these seasons of life where we're called to do something that might be uncomfortable, but we're chosen by God to do so. The story of Esther is another example that even in your most uncomfortable moments, God is there. After Esther is made the queen, Mordecai instructs her to hide her identity from the king, that she is a Jew. Mordecai overhears two guards planning on murdering the king, so he tells Esther, and then tells the king. Haman, who is a descendant of the Canaanites, is elevated to the highest position in the kingdom and demands that everyone bow to him. When Mordecai refuses to bow to Haman, he gets furious. Haman finds out that Mordecai is Jewish and persuades the king to make a decree to kill all the Jewish people. At this point, Esther is worried that she'll be killed since the king doesn't know that she's Jewish, and she's persuaded by Mordecai to save the Jews. In Esther 4:16, Esther gives instruction to Mordecai to fast for 3 days and three nights and makes the decision to tell the king who she really is, despite a death sentence, saying, "If I perish, I perish." In the end, Queen Esther was spared. Even though Esther was in a life or death situation, she made the tough and uncomfortable decision to tell the truth. John 15:16 reads, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you." It may be hard to wrap your mind around the concept of God choosing us, but it's true. It's our responsibility to be his disciples and to minister to those around us, even though it might be awkward and uncomfortable. I was privileged, like Pastor said, to go to an AYC trip in 2019 to Okinawa, Japan. And one of the main outreaches that we did there was to have a gospel concert right in the middle of a busy park area. And we handed out hundreds of flyers and talked to Japanese people about God. It can be very difficult to talk to Japanese people about God because they know nothing about Christianity. All they know is Buddhism. And, of course, there's a language barrier. Also, by nature, Japanese people are very reserved, and they typically mind their own business. So it's very odd for foreigners to go up to them and just start talking about Jesus, who they've never heard of. However, when we had our outdoor concert, we were able to reach lots of people, and many healings took place. After we got done singing at our concert, our missionary, Brother Doan, asked the crowd that was gathered there if anyone was sick or in pain and needed healing. There were many who came forward, some out of curiosity and some out of faith. Our missionary then instructed us AYC students to go and pray for someone you felt led to, and if appropriate, ask them if you can put a hand over their area of pain or sickness. I remember feeling drawn to pray with a Japanese lady. She expressed to me that she had ankle pain for years and needed a healing touch. I asked her if it was okay to touch her ankle when I prayed for her. She agreed, and I laid my hands on her ankle and began praying in tongues. And while we were praying, she started jumping up and down, saying that the pain in her ankle was gone. It was incredible. But then I remember asking her if she knows who healed her, and she said she didn't. And I gave her a little Bible study right there in the park, just told her it was Jesus. Even though there was a language barrier and it was kind of hard for her to understand, she was just so ecstatic and excited that this pain that she's had for years was gone. I can't imagine. Although it was uncomfortable to pray in tongues with strangers, hand out flyers to strangers who most of the time didn't speak English, and talk to Japanese people about God in the streets, it was worth it because God knew what was going to happen in the park. I also remember a specific church service we had when we were told to pray against darkness that was residing in Okinawa. My face was on the floor along with many of the other AYC students, and we were just crying out to God. And I physically felt the chains breaking and darkness being destroyed. It was life-changing. I felt complete victory in both my life and the spiritual world. A few days later, we climbed a castle, the castle ruins, to get to a high point where we could pray over the whole island. And I do have a picture for that. I remember that day was so stormy and rainy. We were told to pray over the north, south, east, and west parts of the island. And the whole island's only about a 3-hour drive from one end to the other. So from that, we were able to see pretty well, like, most of the island. It was so cool. It was raining. We were getting soaked. But we were just praising God and praying over different parts. It was so cool. And I believe the prayers that we prayed that day cast out darkness. And in Jesus' name, saved lives. We all prayed specifically over, our missionary said in Okinawa that suicide has become an epidemic and that darkness of this world convinces people that life is not worth living. We all prayed specifically over the spirit of suicide, interceding with those who were being tempted to take their lives. And again, we were crying out to God, not holding anything back. And yes, it was just incredibly powerful. There is power in your uncomfortableness. The first time you raise your hands, you're uncomfortable. The first time you walk up to an altar, you're uncomfortable. And if you're too comfortable, you're not going to be hungry for more. We must seek to be uncomfortable and to not just go through the motions. That is the most dangerous place to be in the church. Matthew chapter 5, starting verse number 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It's uncomfortable to be poor, but yours is the kingdom of heaven. It's uncomfortable to mourn for your loved ones, but you will be comforted. It can be uncomfortable to get to the place where you're hungry and thirsting after righteousness, but you will be filled. Hypothetically, there's no need for a savior if life's always comfortable. When I'm uncomfortable, I'm asking Jesus for help and guidance. When I'm a mess, I'm comforted knowing that he's got it all under control. Once you step out of your comfort zone, it becomes easier to do it again. It's easy to doubt yourself or tell yourself you're not good enough. But Joshua chapter 1, verse 9 says, "Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." Amen. Through challenging situations, our discomfort causes us to develop compassion, patience, and discover our purpose in the kingdom of God. James chapter 1, starting in verse number 2, reads, "My brethren, count it all for joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." These verses encourage you to feel the feelings of discomfort, to count it all joy, and learn to have patience when you're feeling discouraged, because we know that God has all under control. I just want to encourage you to do that uncomfortable thing that God's been calling you to do. Maybe it's teaching a Bible study. Maybe it's joining a new ministry or being more involved in your current one. It's so easy to reject feelings of discomfort and not do the will of the Lord. For example, if God's calling you to pray for a stranger that's walking past you, it can be easy to avoid them, asking them if they need prayer or anything. During those times, we may feel anxious doing the things of God, but we need to turn to him and realize that he's the one in complete control. He wouldn't ask us to do uncomfortable things if he didn't have a greater purpose. Like a father to his child, he doesn't like watching us be uncomfortable, but he knows that it's going to bring us to a better place and have a deeper relationship with him. If you feel yourself doubting, remember what God has brought you out of and kept you from. My missionary back in Japan said to keep a journal of all the amazing things God has done for you in your life so you can go back often and remember those things and come back to a place where you find yourself at an altar thanking him. It's okay to feel uncomfortable. It's okay to cry at an altar. It's okay to dance before the Lord. It's okay to worship and praise the one who's worthy of it all. Don't back down from doing something that will expand the kingdom of God because of your discomfort. If that were the case for Jesus, he would have never died on the cross for us. And I can't imagine how uncomfortable Jesus must have been on that day, but he did it for us. What a pure and true love that is. If we're uncomfortable, we're growing spiritually, because it's through him that we can do all things. Thank you, church.
Thank you, Sister Lauren. That I could feel the experience that she was speaking through. It wasn't a theory of what God has done. And Sister Lauren, that voice that prompted you to go and pray with that lady, God was affirming that as he demonstrated his power. And that still small voice, it's still speaking, it's still guiding, it's still directing. So well said tonight. Thank you for sharing. When she came back from that first trip to Japan and was already then planning and preparing for a return trip, I could see the strong desire that Lauren had to minister, to be used of God. And of course, COVID, it got in the way of a lot of people's plans and intent. But that didn't stop her. What came next over the next months, and now what became then years, was a young lady preparing herself for a new chapter, not knowing what it might be. As her and I talked, and I shared some of the resources, some of the same resources that ministers go through in order to prepare for licensing, not necessarily with that intent, but because it's good material to study to show thyself, to prepare thyself. She was reading through the I was suggesting the books and the courses that you can find online. And she read all the requirements. She said, well, the requirements say I need to read the Bible through and I need to read the manual, so I'm going to start with that. I'm like, well, there's an overachiever right there. Keep up the good work, Lauren. I appreciate it. Thank you. Last tonight, our young minister, Michaela Hanna. Michaela is another very talented and gifted young lady like the other two. She's invested herself in children's ministry from a very, very young age. From as early as they would let her participate as a teacher, she has participated in some way, shape, or form in children's ministries, down in Power Hour, in Sunday school. Currently, she leads the Daughters of Christ team. She also contributes significantly with the video and screen production. She herself is a professional photographer, and in fact, this past year, she was recruited by North American Youth Congress, so the National Conference of Youth. She was a photographer. She had a press pass at that event, and so not only does she use her gifts for employment, but she uses them for the kingdom of God. And she's an incredibly creative person with a great passion for children. And so I would just like to invite Sister Michaela Hanna to come here and to minister to you tonight.
Good afternoon. Well, I am in fact uncomfortable, Lauren, so thank you for going before me. When Pastor Portman came up with the drawing sticks idea, I begged him that if he put my name first, to put it back in the cup, because I did not want to go first. But I regret that very much, because I was sitting. Casey pointed out that I was poking at my pencil, just very uncomfortable, waiting for my turn because... Well, this is intimidating. If Pastor Portman, you weren't kidding. If Pastor Portman asked me to do this when I was like 12 years old, I would have been so confident in myself and I would have walked up here and given it my all. And I'm not that person anymore. And I wish I had some of that boldness. But I had a big head, so the Lord delivered me from that one. He also delivered me from my boldness and clothing choice, because I would have been up here in rainbow Converse and a camouflage t-shirt. So I'm sorry if you witnessed that. All right, let's get started. So if you'd like to turn, you can, but I'm going to read some scriptures in Mark chapter 1 verse 6. And John was clothed with the camel's hair and with a girdle of skin about his loins, and he did eat locusts and wild honey, and preached, saying, There cometh one mightier than I. The latchet of those shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee, and was baptized of John in Jordan. And straightway, coming out of the water, he saw the heavens open, and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven, saying, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness, and he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was in the wild, and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered unto him. This preaching or lesson was inspired from my trip to South Dakota. And when I was rereading this passage of scripture, verse number 12 really stuck out to me, because it said, immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. If I can go back in what I just said, John the Baptist, he spent many years in the wilderness away from man, preparing himself to become the voice of the wilderness of Judea, preparing the people for the coming of the Lord. And when Jesus came, John baptized him, and when he came out of the water, John's perspective completely changed to the way baptism was truly intended to be. Now, in that same moment, there was a voice that came down again saying, "Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Here's where verse 12 caught my attention, because it said, "Immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness." It's interesting that right after his baptism, his Spirit impelled him to go into the wilderness right before he was about to go into his ministry. Now, there's a little story, or a moment that reminded me of this. As Pastor Portman said, I do DOC, and a couple months ago, we did a game, and I blindfolded one of those girls, and I challenged them, and I gave them tasks, and I directed her around the room, in the youth room, and I was like, turn left, turn right, go straight, jump up and down, just random things. And then all of a sudden, I very directly said, sit down. She had no idea where she was in the room. She laughed at me. She was like, no. But then eventually, she realized I wasn't kidding, and I told her to sit down. And very hesitantly, she did. And in that last second, I swooped a chair right under her so she didn't fall to the ground. Now, I would have done that here, but I'm pretty sure some of y'all wouldn't have trusted me. But that's okay. The Spirit should be a driving force in our lives. When I was at camp one year, he said, "The Holy Ghost is the greatest teacher you will ever have," which says a lot because I had Sister Pickler for a couple years. According to the book of Matthew, Jesus went into the desert and with an express purpose of being tempted by the devil. He made himself vulnerable unto God. It was dry, he was parched, he was hungry, there was no affirming voices in his life to give him confidence. And wouldn't you know it, right in the middle of that atmosphere, the devil shows up. One thing I hate about the devil is he never comes when it's convenient for you. He doesn't show up when you're in the middle of service and you're dancing and you're praising and you're getting your full fill of the Spirit, but he comes when you are alone. At this point, Jesus has been alone in the desert for some time. In Matthew chapter 4, 2 verse 11, it's actually one of my favorite passages, simply because the way I visualize this passage is it's like in an action movie. And it's just like super intense. If you've ever seen a superhero movie, you know exactly what I'm talking about. That's completely random and beside the point, but you can imagine it the same way I do if you'd like. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came unto him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." And he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on the pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against the stone." Jesus said unto him, "It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and sheweth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto them, "All these things I will give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said unto him, "Give thee hence, Satan, For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Once the devil left, and Jesus fully recovered, that he then knew he was ready to fulfill his calling from God. Jesus' first words when he walked out of the desert are found in Luke 4, 18 to 21. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set liberty to them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all of them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Jesus was isolated in the desert. It was hot, there were beasts, and the enemy showed up and offered him an opportunity to circumvent Calvary. When he came out, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He hath anointed me. I can only imagine in that moment that many people went to the Messiah asking him how he got the Spirit of the Lord upon him, because they witnessed him heal the blind. And he performed signs and wonders and miracles, and he even walked the shores of Galilee. And it was because he went through the desert. He went through something that prepared him for those moments. The wilderness is a place where God is leading us, where he calls us out and prepares us for our calling, reveals his truth, and teaches us how to rely on him. The wilderness requires us to separate ourselves from this carnal world, to consciously leave behind the norms and the poles of society, and we must ask ourselves where we are in our wilderness. You see, in your current and upcoming struggles as you walk through your life, it may not be the enemy that is attacking you, but it could be the spirit that is driving you into your wilderness so you can step into your destiny. And lastly, in closing, if I can impose a question on you, could it be that you choose how long you are in yours, your wilderness? Thank you.
I feel like we heard from the Lord here tonight. Thank you, Michaela. I really appreciated that. I feel challenged. Oh, we are all aspiring. We are all reaching, never obtaining. I've often wondered if the flesh of God needed to fast 40 days and 40 nights. Why is it so hard sometimes to fast a day or more? We've been challenged here tonight to willingly step into discomfort, to go into the place that people don't normally willingly go. Michaela, I remember, I believe in your Bible, when you graduated, I wrote a note that the gifts, God will make room for themselves. We don't need to make room for them. And I'm so grateful that you've allowed God to continue to develop those gifts in you. Let patience have her perfect work. I think we heard that tonight as well. Would you stand with me? I'm encouraged. There's a generation of apostolics, and most of them cut their teeth on these pews. You may find a few teeth marks. And they're here standing for truth, lovers of God, living lives of holiness, walking in obedience to the Word of God. And they are crossing a threshold into a place where, Lord, you can use anything. You can use me. Thank you, ladies. Thank you for ministering to us here tonight. As we open up this altar, maybe we would all take a step into some discomfort, into the wilderness, into a place where God is calling us. Amen. Would you come?